While industries across the nation have ground to a halt in the wake of COVID-19, outreach organizations that look to safeguard our community's most vulnerable demographics have had to power through it all, sometimes with less staffing and fewer resources. This has been the case for foster programs such as Catholic Charities Hawaii, which has continued their therapeutic foster care in spite of the pandemic. Husband and wife Jonathan and Danielle Mendoza have years of experience with foster care within the organization, and they say that the challenging times have complicated what was already a tough situation. They spoke with The Conversation's Harrison Patino on the difficulties of foster care during a global crisis.
We're dealing with homes that have people who have traveled in and out of the state or the island, so they're dealing with their own quarantines at times. We're also dealing with trying to have youth placed in our foster homes that are coming from outer islands, let's say Kahimahala or Queens or, you know, hospital settings. And due to the quarantine, it's a big struggle to try to make that happen in the usual way that we've done it before.
Pretty much this pandemic has created a lot of insecurities with folks just taking on different youth if someone's traveling, and especially some of our families are older, so they're more, you know, hesitant.
So I would imagine that the network of possible foster parents might be shrinking because of this crisis. Is that the case?
We're at an all-time low. Typically, we have like 15 to 18 families, and right now we got like 10. You know, not only because of the pandemic, but slowly a couple families are hesitant to take in youth, new youth, as well as provide respite for current youth because they're just, you know, wanting to wait till this whole pandemic slows down. So it did kind of make an impact on a couple families with the pandemic. But throughout the years that Danielle and I've been here, this is our all-time low with the amount of families that we have serving the youth in our program.
With less foster families overall, does that increase the individual workload on the remaining families? Is that how it works?
Yes. Right now, we have a certain amount of families that are available to provide the care, like John was saying. And we are also asking other foster parents to provide respite to be able to maintain the placement that the youth is in. So giving everybody a little bit of a break occasionally to give everybody a break so that they can maintain the placement and the placement can continue without burning anybody out or without the kiddos getting too restless or bored as well in one place.
Yeah, how has this affected those foster parents who keep on in spite of this crisis? I mean, this isn't just a lot of hard work. This is a lot of emotional attachment for those people.
I think with, the recent closures of all the school and many child care programs, foster families have been at home with their youth all day now. So this is an added challenge to an already difficult kind of work that they do. So as Danielle was saying, we try to have the youth go to different families that are licensed. But if they're hesitant to take them in, so it really makes it difficult for us to find relief for some of the parents to shift the youth to a different family so that they can take a break. That has been a challenge.
Because our program is a therapeutic level care and we do use what's called a teaching family model, it's allowed our families to be able to still continue to teach the skills that they would always teach the kids while they're in their home. They're just having a larger amount of opportunities to teach. So some of our parents, you can see how they've just really pulled it together and are able to keep the environment structured and therapeutic, though sometimes the children have a hard time just staying in one place every day without change.
Because the pool of foster parents is smaller altogether, is it harder for those kids to be moving around more? Are they moving around more in the first place?
If we had more foster parents, they would be. But with the limited amount that we have right now, everybody's pretty much staying put unless there's an emergency or a crisis of some sort where support is needed in that way.
They're pretty much staying put. There's a couple families that do work together, so they see the same youth, like, you know, they help out a family. And so there's two families for one or two youth, and they kind of switch off a little bit to help each other. But basically, yeah, if we had more families, that would really be helpful to be able to relieve one another to get that break that is much needed, especially during this time of the, you know, stay-at-home order.
Now, social distancing has really become the order of the day. What sort of challenges has that presented to foster programs?
The social distancing, especially the quarantine issue, has prevented us from being able to have children join the program from Outer Islands. It's also, I believe, been a challenge for the kids in our program to have their family visits that they would have maybe typically once a week, face-to-face. They're not getting to, you know, see their biological families for those who do, and they're forced, you know, to have telecommunication, which sometimes can be very challenging for some of the biological families to have internet or have the equipment needed to do the visits that the youth do every week and usually need to help keep them motivated.
I think also we're currently working with the State Department of Health to allow like COVID testing or screening of the foster mm-hmm. youth to help with the process of helping families who are receiving the children to feel at ease or just knowing that the kid was tested and is not, you know, COVID positive.
Now, testing in any other avenue has been pretty hard to come by. Has it been difficult for these foster programs to acquire any sort of testing?
Well, as far as I know, our first testing occurred yesterday. So that was a bright light that the youth entering our program was able to have a COVID test done after arriving on the Big Island. Again, though, the results won't come for 3 days, and in the meantime, he is placed in a home where, you know, the family doesn't know the outcome of the test, but they are willing to have him with no symptoms and us doing the screening that we've been doing as well. So that was our first one actually yesterday.
You're right, it is a bright light, but it must be an enormous layer of added stress to be operating
oh
in this
goodness.
Environment and not yeah. know about the possibility or the accuracy of whether or not these kids are COVID positive or not.
Exactly. So what usually takes a small village to accomplish now has just turned into a bigger village because we're having to reach out to other folks outside of our agency to be able to have all of this done. And we've had task forces and different things that we're doing to deal with the difficulties of recruitment and intake.
I was wondering specifically, you touched on this earlier, how has this whole COVID-19 crisis affected recruitment? I mean, initially you said it's not good.
Right. I think for me, recruitment is done typically primarily through the word of mouth. You know, when families know other people who may be interested, they refer them to us to try and get them licensed, and they become interested. Oh, I want to do what my uncle and auntie are doing or my neighbor is doing. So it's really hard for us to advertise for, you know, recruitment of foster parents. So that's one thing that's been really hard for years, is just to try and recruit. But I think with this whole COVID, it's even worse because a lot of times we get support from the schools. And when the schools shut down, you know, it's less that gets, you know, noticed. Many times we have school personnel stepping up to become foster parents because they work with these youth daily and they see the need. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen through the schools that help the youth to become placed in a home. And that's where it's noticed, when the teachers can see the youth day to day. But primarily, recruitment is done through the word of mouth with our existing families.
You know, much of the state is eyeing reopening in a lot of different avenues, whether it's certain retail businesses or restaurants. Even the governor recently was talking about opening up inter-island transit. If we see a soft, gradual reopening of Hawaii, do you think you can anticipate an uptick in recruitment once again?
I think so. You know, again, that's been a tough one. We are currently working on, you know, different avenues of trying to get folks recruited. And this is one that we can, you know, announce, hey, if you guys want to help us out, help the Keiki of the Islands to foster, give us a call here at Catholic Charities. We're one of several different agencies that do this, and we'd love to have you guys come join us and be foster parents with us. You know, it's definitely needed on Oahu.
I mean, to say nothing of the enormous need for foster parents in normal circumstances, what do you say to people who might normally would have been interested in becoming a foster parent but are a little discouraged by the uncertainty of the times?
One of the challenges that we're facing is when we do recruit a foster parent and then we begin the initial licensing process, we usually do a visit at their home and get to meet them and everybody in the house, even the pets, and you know, we joined together at that time to start working together. But since the COVID and the telecommunication options, it's really hard to even get a feel of the home. Because I feel like you, you can go into a home and just feel if it's a place
right.
that really wants to do this, or if it's a calm place, if it's therapeutic. But now through this telecommunication, it's really almost like a mask from getting to really know the people face-to-face and getting to get the feel of their home or see their neighborhood or things like that.
That's I agree with that. It's definitely, you get that gut feeling, and
mm-hmm.
when you're in someone's home and you can talk to them face-to-face, see their expressions and just watch their gestures. But I think for folks who are out there who are really unsure, you know, we provide an incredible training, the Teaching Family Association. That's the model we use, and it's like 40 hours of great training, and we give you the tools to, you know, help with the teaching and letting the youth learn these skills. There's all kinds of social, academic, and independent skills that we teach. We do have 24/7 support with our consultants if it's needed. We have ongoing training as well as, you know, daily stipend, and we compensate for mileage. So if it's something you're unsure of, we can definitely get you started to help out families with providing respite, which is, you know, just having the youth for a day or two or, you know, an overnighter or a weekend. And
mm-hmm.
gradually get, you know, your feet more wet in the sense of having a placement. But at least in the beginning, you can start off with helping the existing families and, you know, talking started with them, getting to know the ins and outs of it. And we're definitely here to support families to help the keiki of our island.
That was Jonathan and Danielle Mendoza of Catholic Charities Hawaii. They were talking to the Conversations' Harrison Patino on the difficulties of foster care during this time.